This recording is a service of the Allen County Public Library's audio reading service. It is specifically designed for and directed to people who have visual, physical, learning, or language challenges to reading traditional printed materials.
Welcome to Area News. Important stories that impact your life do not always happen in the metro area. Keep up with the news happening all around you and in your neighborhood, no matter where you live. For the next 60 minutes, it's Area News, right here on your audio reading service.
Welcome. This is Area News, and I'm your reader, Rich Krause, with the audio reading service of the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Today, I'll be reading from three area newspapers, from Auburn, Angola, Kendallville, and Cherubusco, Indiana, the KPC News, covering DeKalb, Noble, Steuben, and Whitley counties, and from Bluffton, Indiana, the News Banner, covering Wells County. And now, from KPC News, from Auburn, Indiana, the Star, dated Wednesday, November 19th, 2025. Copyright 2025, kpcnews.com. Man Gets 30 Years for Child Molesting, by Jeff Jones, Auburn. A former butler man was sentenced Tuesday to serve 30 years in prison on a charge of child molesting of a young girl. DeKalb Superior Court II Judge Patrick Jessup handed down the sentence to Robert Teese, age 54, who dabbed his eyes during the sentencing hearing. Teese, formerly of the 200 block of Walnut Street, was arrested on June 25th by Butler Police on a charge of child molesting, a level 1 felony. Since then, Teese has been incarcerated at the DeKalb County Jail. He was ordered to serve his sentence at the Indiana Department of Correction. The victim, who did not appear in court, was less than 12 years old at the time of the offense. Before a sentence was issued, the court heard a statement from the victim's mother. "My heart is broken in ways you cannot imagine," the mother said. "As a mother, my instinct is to protect my daughter, but I couldn't protect her from this. I've watched her struggle after what was done to her," the mother continued. "As a mother, I can only hold her and tell her she is loved. Every part of our lives has been touched by what was done," the victim's mother said. She asked Jessup to impose a 30-year sentence, adding, "My baby deserves to feel safe, that her voice matters." DeKalb County Prosecuting Attorney Neil Blythe said Teese not only impregnated a young child, but convinced her to lie about the circumstances. He only took responsibility after the DNA results came back that the child was his, Blythe said. The prosecutor said that every child is a blessing, but the victim, now age 14, comes home to care for her child instead of enjoying things that other teenagers are able to do at her age. In Indiana, the advisory sentence for a level 1 felony is between 20 and 50 years. Blythe asked for the maximum sentence. Before sentencing, Teese made a statement to the court. "I've had time to reflect. Certain people I can look at and see how much stress and strain has affected them," Teese said. "I resent what I did," he continued. "I can't change what I did," before asking the court for mercy in sentencing. Defense attorney John Watkins asked the court to consider a 20-year sentence, pointing to Teese's limited criminal history, with a misdemeanor occurring 30 years ago. "It's an offense not likely to reoccur," Watkins said. "He has taken responsibility for his actions. He did so quickly. He feels very bad about what happened and what this has done." In his remarks before sentencing, Jessup said, "Teese was in a position of control and custody and persuaded the victim to lie about the circumstances. The things you told her to tell police are things a child of her age should never contemplate, Jessup told Teese. Not only have you done this despicable act, you've added to this. Jessup ruled the aggravating factors of the case outweigh any mitigating factors. He determined Teese to be a credit-restricted felon, receiving 1 day of credit for every 6 days served. No probation will be added, the judge said, but Teese must register as a violent sex offender. Following the ruling, Teese, wearing a jail jumpsuit with handcuffs and leg shackles, was escorted from the courtroom. Next, from KPC News, The Star. DeKalb students learn about police work, attend Law Enforcement Training and Tactics Day. Waterloo. DeKalb High School criminal justice and psychology students attended the Law Enforcement Training and Tactics Field Experience on November 12th, coordinated by Chief Corey Heffelfinger of the Auburn Police Department. Students are earning dual credit as they dive deeper into the criminal justice and psychology fields and explore a plethora of career avenues. At this study trip, students got a real-world glimpse and understanding of what it is like to train for a career in law enforcement and an explanation as to why continuous training is important and knowledge of specific tactics is essential. Overall, students gained a better understanding of what the law enforcement profession consists of from an officer perspective, as well as what a possible day in the life of a police officer entails. Heffelfinger and Lieutenant Martin McCoy started the event by sharing many of their experiences in law enforcement. McCoy instructed students on strategies and tactics of patrol stops, less lethal firearms, and crime scene investigations. The students explored the area of drug recognition in a session led by Heffelfinger and how drug use in society impacts criminal justice. Captain Sean Miller led sessions on emergency vehicle operations and AI camera usage in law enforcement. Lieutenant Detective Aaron Quick led an interactive on use of force and defensive tactics. The entire department demonstrated firearms training and qualifications testing to round out the day's events. I thought being a police officer would be easier and more fun, but going to the range made me realize it is not, one student stated. It's very mentally demanding and physically demanding, and it changes every aspect of your life. I couldn't imagine living with the stress every day of not knowing what will happen at any given time. I have huge respect for officers that put their lives on the line every day for our community. A second student said, I found it very interesting to learn about all the different aspects of the job. An officer has to be knowledgeable and of in order to be successful. The event gave me a deeper sense of respect and understanding for the law enforcement profession. Lieutenant McCoy's case overview was especially engaging as he asked us students to determine what was happening in each of the crime scene photos. The second student continued, all of the officers were super open to honestly answering the students' questions, which made the day very informative and gave us a well-rounded perception of what police officers do on a daily basis. Next, from KPC News, The Star. Alliance Health Center goes live at Parkview DeKalb by Jeff Jones. Auburn. Parkview Health and Alliance Health Centers announced last week the opening of a new clinic inside Parkview DeKalb Hospital. It's located at the hospital, 1316 East 7th Street, Suite 2 and Entrance 3. It expands access to care for underserved residents in DeKalb County. Services offered at Alliance Health Centers include primary care, mental health counseling for children 3 and older, developmental behavioral health counseling, psychiatry for children 4 and older, substance use treatment, and early autism evaluations for children under age 5. A community health needs assessment was conducted, and through that we identified mental health access as a top priority in this community, said Dr. Nikki King, Chief Executive Officer, AHC. This new clinic represents our commitment to meeting that need, creating a welcoming space where every individual can access compassionate, high-quality care close to home. Parkview's partnership with the clinic reflects a continued commitment to collaboration and to addressing health disparities across the region. Our collaboration with Alliance Health Centers represents a shared commitment to improving access to care and advancing health equity in DeKalb County, said Julie McCormick, Market President, Parkview Health Northeast. By working together, we're helping to remove barriers that too often stand between residents and the services they need, while supporting the overall well-being of the community we serve. Results of a recent health needs assessment weren't surprising. One of the top priorities has been mental health and access to mental health and substance abuse treatment, McCormick said at Thursday's opening ceremony. We're super excited here at Parkview DeKalb to partner with Alliance Health Centers to bring these services to the community to help take care of folks where they live, she said. We're basically a federal qualified health center, King said at the opening ceremony. We were originally started by Parkview to ensure that everybody would have access to health care, regardless of their ability to pay, regardless of the barriers, and to really improve that access to make sure that nobody gets left behind in the community. We started 5 years ago, and when we sat down and really looked at what is our place in the community, what role can we fill that's not duplicating or anything like that, kind of in our name all along, King said. We are super happy to be here at this clinic while focused on serving those who face barriers to receiving care. The clinic is open to the entire community. Our hope is that the community views these services as truly accessible, regardless of insurance status or financial circumstances, said Chris Wise, Chief Behavioral Health Officer at AHC. We are committed to providing equitable, person-centered care that promotes mental well-being and ensures every individual has the opportunity to receive the support they deserve. The 7th Street Clinic houses 2 primary care providers, 6 mental health counselors, and 1 psychiatry provider, and all currently accepting new patients. Hours of operation are 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Friday. About Alliance Health Centers. Located throughout Northeast Indiana, Alliance Health Centers, AHC, provides primary medical, OBGYN, and behavioral health care for patients of all ages. We are committed to the communities we serve and provide quality health care options regardless of ability to pay. A sliding fee discount is available to those who qualify. As a collaborative partner, Parkview Health provides financial and operational support to AHC, and clinic providers are leased from Parkview Physicians Group. Pediatric patients with Medicaid or who have no insurance are accepted. Visit myalliancehealth.org website for more information. Next, from KPC News, The Star. Teen sentenced for his role in stabbing, by Catherine Bassett. Auburn. The younger brother of the man convicted of manslaughter in the May 2024 stabbing death of Blake Bosey in Auburn Crossings. Formerly West Edge Trailer Park was sentenced Tuesday for his role in the crime. Grayson Aronin, age 17, of the 1900 block of Maple Street, Auburn, had pleaded guilty to assisting a criminal, a level 5 felony, as part of the plea agreement filed in the DeKalb Superior Court 1. Under the terms of the plea agreement, Judge Adam Squiller sentenced Aronin to the 3 years of incarceration, all suspended, except 270 actual days Aronin has served in juvenile detention while the case was pending. Aronin's conviction will be entered as an adult conviction. He was placed on probation for the balance of the sentence. At the time of the incident that resulted in Bosie's death, Aronin was age 16. On Monday, Aronin's brother, Colton Herzog, age 23, was sentenced to 28 years in prison for voluntary manslaughter in the stabbing death of Bosie. Herzog was found guilty of the level 2 felony after a jury trial in September. Aronin was accused of coordinating the sale of marijuana, riding with Herzog to the proposed transaction site, and attempting to hide the knife used in the stabbing in a trash can. According to a police affidavit of probable cause, an individual who had been with Bosie just before he was killed told police he had made arrangements to buy marijuana from Aronin. Herzog drove Aronin to the trailer park where a meeting had been arranged. The individual and Bosie ripped the bag containing the drugs off of Aronin and took off running, with Herzog chasing them, the jury heard during Herzog's trial. While detectives were still on the scene of the stabbing, a man and his stepson came to the scene with a knife, blue bag, and shorts that they said Aronin had thrown in their trash can, according to the affidavit. The stepson said Aronin was visibly and audibly upset and told him that someone had just been stabbed, the affidavit stated. During Tuesday's sentencing hearing, Aronin's attorney, Ben Nordman, said Aronin had expressed his regret for his participation in a scheme that left a young man dead. "He does feel remorse for the victim and his participation in that today," Nordman added. Nordman told the court that while incarcerated at the Allen County Juvenile Center, Aronin has received his high school equivalency diploma and has achieved test scores that show he is college and career ready. "He has been actively participating in trying to better himself," the attorney said. Nordman said Aronin has expressed goals for the future and described the difference between Herzog and Aronin as night and day. DeKalb County Chief Deputy Prosecutor Skyler Casto said the plea agreement given Aronin the opportunity to do some good things for himself. Aronin apologized to the court, adding, "I'm trying to make a good path and have a future for myself." "You really are at a critical point in your life right now," Squiller told Aronin. The judge said it was easy to see a scenario of Aronin following in the footsteps of Herzog. "Or you can choose to live a different life," Squiller continued. "It is up to you to decide which path you take to walk down. Your actions contributed to the loss of a person's life," Squiller told Aronin. The judge described Bosie's death as a senseless killing that showed a total lack of respect to human life. As part of the plea agreement, charges of murder, aiding, inducing, or causing an offense, and obstruction of justice, a level 6 felony, were dismissed. Next, from KPC News, The Star. Perinatal Wellness Program Planned, Auburn. Purdue University Extension, DeKalb County, and the Women's Care Center invite expectant and new parents, partners, families, healthcare workers, mental health professionals, and community supporters to Baby Steps and Big Feelings, a free community conversation focused on perinatal mental health and wellness. Perinatal mental health includes emotional well-being during pregnancy and after birth. Perinatal mood and anxiety disorders are the most common medical complications of childbirth, affecting 1 in 5 mothers and 1 in 10 fathers. With the right support, they are treatable, yet many families do not recognize the signs or know where to turn for help. The event will be held from 5:30 to 7 p.m. on Tuesday, December 2nd, at the Women's Care Center, 918 West 7th Street. Those attending will learn simple ways to support mental health during and after pregnancy, connect with others, and discover resources to help families thrive. Free dinner and childcare are provided. Participants will also be entered into a raffle for prizes, including a box of diapers, wipes, and a pressure cooker. Established Women's Care Center clients may earn 4 Crib Club coupons. Registration is required by November 28th. Visit the website. This program is funded through Health First Indiana in partnerships with the DeKalb County Health Department and supports community efforts to improve maternal and family well-being in Northeast Indiana. Next, from KPC News, The Star. Auburn man sentenced for neglect. Auburn. An Auburn man received a 2-year sentence for neglect of a dependent during a hearing Monday in DeKalb Superior Court 2. Roger Rhodes, age 28, of the 200 block of South Division Street, pleaded guilty to the Level 6 felony as part of a plea agreement. Judge Patrick Jessup sentenced Rhodes to 2 years of incarceration, all suspended except 4 days, with the balance suspended to probation. Rhodes received credit for 2 days served in jail while the case was pending. As terms of probation, Rhodes must complete an alcohol and drug program, not consume any alcohol, and complete a parenting program. Next, from KPC News, The Star. Sports. Prep softball. Melissa Bateman to lead Lakers. LaGrange. Lakeland School Corporation announced the hiring of Melissa Bateman as the new Lakeland High School varsity softball coach last Friday. Bateman replaces Morgan Thompson, who only coached the Lakers for 1 season. Bateman is a Lakeland graduate who played softball for the Lakers and coach Sherry Severson over 20 years ago. Bateman brings more than a decade of coaching experience. She has ran and organized the LaGrange softball program for the past 6 years. "It's a chance to take my love of the game to the next level," Bateman said, of taking the high school coaching job in a Lakeland press release. "Lakeland has some incredible talent, and I'm truly excited for the future of Lakeland softball. Most importantly, I want to build strong relationships with my players and help them develop the same love and passion for the game that has meant so much to me throughout my life." Bateman wants to organize youth camps and pitching clinics to grow enthusiasm for the game within the community. And now, from KPC News, from Albion, Indiana, the Albion New Era, dated Wednesday, November 19th, 2025. Copyright 2025. KPCNews.com. Noble wades into air medic financial issue, by Matt Getz. Albion. The Noble County Commissioners contract with Parkview Health to provide EMS services to Noble County to the tune of approximately $500,000 annually. Part of that contract provides for use of Parkview's Samaritan helicopters. The helicopters are utilized in the most life-threatening of cases, when an ambulance ride would just take too long. But what happens when Parkview's helicopters are already making another emergency run and can't fly for one reason or another? The Noble County Commissioners discussed that issue at their meeting on November 10th. Recently, that aforementioned scenario happened. A first responder requested Parkview Samaritan at a scene and was told there wasn't a Parkview air unit available. So the first responder asked for a Lutheran air unit to respond. I can't second-guess first responders, Commissioners President Gary Leatherman said, but we can't afford to pay all these bills when we didn't have a contract with Lutheran Air. The commissioners discussed a document that would release county government of financial liability when a Lutheran Air unit is requested. But the exact language of the document needed some work, so a decision to approve the document was tabled. The commissioners stressed that they are not against providing the best emergency care possible, but they need to be protected for financial reasons. Also, at the meeting of November 10th, the commissioners voted 3-0 to pay a renewal contract with the Purdue Extension to provide $113,000 in funding to help support the local extension office. Next, from KPC News. The Albion New Era. Safety Rating Group gives Parkview Noble A. Fort Wayne. 5 Parkview hospitals, including Parkview Noble Hospital in Kendallville, received A grades in the fall 2025 Hospital Safety Grades released by the Leapfrog Group, a national nonprofit that evaluates patient safety in hospitals and ambulatory surgery centers. Parkview Regional Medical Center, Parkview Hospital Randalia, Parkview Huntington Hospital, and Parkview Whitley Hospital also received an A in Leapfrog's twice annual safety rating. Leapfrog assigns an A through F grade to general hospitals across the country based on more than 30 national performance measures reflecting errors, accidents, injuries, and infections, as well as the systems hospitals have in place to prevent harm. Parkview's hospitals continue to build their streaks of quality this year. Parkview Regional Medical Center, PRMC, has scored an A on 23 of 25 Leapfrog report cards dating back to 2013. Parkview Noble Hospital has received an A for 7 consecutive report cards, while Parkview Huntington Hospital and Parkview Whitley Hospital, Parkview Kosciuszko Hospital, have received 6 straight A's. We highly value the quality of care provided and the safety of our patients and co-workers, said Dr. Jeffrey Board, Chief Quality and Safety Officer, Parkview Health. The safety programs and focus on patients' outcomes is a continuous effort. We utilize the measures in the Leapfrog Safety Grade year-round to identify and implement improvements in patient care and safety. Parkview Hospital Randalia received an A in its first ever rating. Previously, Randalia was rated together with PRMC, as both hospitals operate within a single business license as PRMC and affiliates, but is now scored individually by Leapfrog. Parkview Kosciuszko Hospital is not scored separately, as it still operates under a shared business license with Parkview Whitley Hospital. Parkview LaGrange Hospital, Parkview Wabash Hospital, and Parkview Montpelier Hospital are not graded because the Leapfrog Hospital Safety Grade does not assess critical access hospitals due to limitations on publicly available data from those smaller facilities. Parkview Orthopedic Hospital is also not graded by Leapfrog because it is a specialty hospital. Of the remaining hospitals scored, Parkview Bryan Hospital received a B grade, Parkview DeKalb Hospital received a C, and Parkview Logansport Hospital received a D. Parkview Logansport Hospital affiliated with Parkview on July 1. The grade reflects several months of data before its affiliation. Next, from KPC News, the Albion New Era, sports. Short-handed Cougars roll over Panthers by Matt Goetz. Brushy Prairie. A theater production and an injury had the Central Noble girls basketball team's 8-player rotation whittled down to 6 Saturday night versus Prairie Heights. 2 of those 6 had 3 fouls before halftime. It didn't matter. 6 was more than enough for the Cougars, who rolled 58-32. Central Noble improved to 2-1 overall and 1-0, 1-0 in the Northeast Corner Conference with the victory. Prairie Heights dropped to 1-3 and 0-2 in the NECC contest. The Cougars were led in scoring by sophomore Jaylee Sloan's 20 points. Senior Grace Schwenk added 19 points and a game-best 11 rebounds. Junior Cadence Bales added 17 points and 8 rebounds. The Panthers were led by senior Jenna Park with 10 points and a team-best 6 rebounds. Junior Bailey Godsey added 8. Senior Peyton Gibson scored 7. Central Noble shot the ball well, hitting on 41% of its field goal tries. Prairie Heights shot 23%. The Cougars made some hay at the foul line, going 18 for 24. The Panthers were 6 of 9 from the charity stripe. According to Central Noble coach Sam Malcolm, senior Austin McGoughlin was unavailable due to starring in the weekend's high school theater performance. Sophomore Surya Steele suffered an undisclosed injury the day before. That meant the Central Noble starters were going to be spending a lot of time on the floor, and Schwenk and freshman Gwen Schwenk both picked up 3 fouls in the first half. Neither picked up a 4th foul. Grace Schwenk had her way with the Panthers' defense in the first quarter, scoring 8 of her 9 first quarter points in the final 4 minutes and 20 seconds of the opening period. Central Noble went from an 8-3 deficit to a 15-9 lead during that span. The second quarter was all Cougars as the Panthers' shooting woes worsened. After going 3 of 14 in the opening stanza, Prairie Heights was 1 for 11 in the second quarter. Prairie Heights was never able to really shoot itself into contention as its shots were just not falling. Malcolm was pleased with how his team performed, particularly since its starters had to spend so much time on the floor. They were tired, Malcolm said. You couldn't ask for better kids. They executed what we wanted to do. And now, from KPC News, from Garrett, Indiana, the Garrett Clipper, dated Tuesday, November 18th, 2025. Heffelfinger is new Garrett police chief. Garrett. Mark Heffelfinger doesn't stay retired long. At the start of 2024, he retired for a second time after serving 4 years as chief of police for his hometown Butler Police Department. That's after he retired after serving 34 years with Indiana State Police. Now he's being called back to duty once again, this time for the city of Garrett. On Monday, November 10, Heffelfinger was appointed by Mayor Todd Fiant to lead the Garrett Police Department. Heffelfinger explained his job is to regain the public's trust in the police department. Background. In October 2023, the DeKalb County Prosecuting Attorney's Office informed Garrett officials that it will no longer file any charges filed by Garrett police. In a story that appeared in November 2023, Fiont said that action has turned the department into nothing more than a security guard company. In a letter sent to city officials on October 13, 2023, the DeKalb County Prosecuting Attorney's Office announced it would not accept cases filed by the Garrett Police Department pending an ongoing investigation by the Indiana State Police. After meeting with the Indiana Law Enforcement Academy and the Indiana Prosecuting Attorney's Council, I have decided that our office will not be filing any new criminal case that is investigated by any member of the Garrett Police Department, the letter signed by DeKalb County Prosecuting Attorney Neil Blythe said. Blythe asked Indiana State Police to investigate the Garrett Police Department following an incident that occurred in September of 2023 that has been part of what he calls an ongoing culture problem at Garrett Police Department. I have been in communication with the Indiana State Police as their investigation continues, the letter from Blythe read. I will determine the appropriate next steps at the conclusion of the Indiana State Police investigation into the conduct of several police officers of the Garrett Police Department. In a November 2023 interview, Blythe said he could not comment on the specifics of the conduct mentioned in his letter, but said in some instances he is extremely concerned with the integrity and completeness of the evidence that is being presented to the prosecutor's office, the department. Since that time, the Garrett Police Department has seen several officers come and go. In a phone interview, Heffelfinger said Garrett allows 14 officers, including the police chief. As of Friday, the department is down 3 officers. My purpose is to reestablish some credibility within the department and where the department is respected by the public, Heffelfinger said. They have a lot of good officers in Garrett, and given time, hopefully, they can reestablish the public's trust. So far, I've been impressed by the officers I've met, Heffelfinger said. Career choice. An Eastside High School graduate, Heffelfinger said at the time of his 2024 retirement, while he didn't have any specific influences, he always knew he wanted to get involved in law enforcement. I can't really put a finger on it, but I knew in high school that I wanted to what I wanted to do, he said. I was cautious about what I did with some of the characters that I maybe associated with, because I knew someday this is what I wanted to do. At age 21, he applied to the DeKalb County Sheriff's Department, originally serving as a reserve, before becoming a deputy. After about 5 years, he transferred to the Butler Police Department while having applied to Indiana State Police. At that time, it was a numbers game, he said. We had 4,600 applicants applying for 60 positions. I came to Butler thinking, okay, I don't know if I'll make state police, so I'll come here. I was here for less than a year, and I got accepted to the state police. Once I got accepted to the state police, I spent the next 34 years there. The state police was a godsend for me, Heffelfinger said. I got to do so many things. His first state police assignment was in Lake County, which he described as a very busy, happening place. In addition to patrol, he was on the bomb squad and SWAT team. Later, he became a hostage negotiator. He transferred into the Fort Wayne district, where he became a detective, crime scene investigator, and crime scene supervisor. I was very fortunate to work a lot of interesting cases, he said. It was really rewarding for me, the whole process. I like to keep my mind busy, figure things out, and work with people to get it done. And we were able to do that here, Heffelfinger said, at the time of his retirement as Butler's police chief. Next, from KPC News, the Garrett Clipper. Colin Bice, named CEO, president of DeKalb Economic Partnership, Auburn. The DeKalb County Economic Development Partnership, Incorporated Board of Directors has announced the appointment of Colin Weiss as the organization's new president and chief executive officer. Weiss, a lifelong DeKalb County resident, assumed interim leadership of DCEDP, which is the DeKalb County Economic Development Partnership, following the departure of longtime president and CEO Anton King, who served the organization for more than 9 years. With support from the board of directors, the executive committee selected Weiss to officially lead the organization into its next chapter. Colin has demonstrated strong leadership and steady guidance throughout this transition, said board resident Rudy Idem. We're thrilled to have him at the helm. Weiss joined DCEDP in April 2024 as a project specialist, where he played a key role in coordinating site selector requests, managing property submissions, and supporting countywide development initiatives. As president and CEO, Weiss will oversee the organization's strategic direction, lead business retention and expansion efforts, and strengthen partnerships among local governments, businesses, and state agencies to foster growth and investment throughout DeKalb County. It's an honor to continue serving DeKalb County in this capacity, Weiss said. This community is home for me and my family, and I'm passionate about working with our partners to strengthen the local economy, attract new investment, and enhance the quality of life for residents and businesses. The DeKalb County Economic Development Partnership, Incorporated is a 501(c) nonprofit organization dedicated to improving the quality of life for the citizens of DeKalb County through the responsible growth of business and industry. DCEDP serves the communities of Ashley, Auburn, Butler, Corunna, Garrett, Hamilton, St. Joe, Waterloo, and DeKalb County. And now, from Bluffton, Indiana, the news banner, dated Wednesday, November 19th, 2025. Copyright, Bluffton's News Banner. It's always been teaching. Alyssa Moser announced at BHMSD Educator of the Year by Holly Gaskell. For as long as she can remember, and maybe even a little bit before, Alyssa Moser wanted to be a teacher. My kindergarten teacher even came up to me when I graduated and said that. When I was a kindergartner, I told her I was going to be a teacher. She said, there was never anything else. It's always been teaching. I've never wavered from that, and I'm so thankful because it's truly my life's passion and my life's work. Moser was hired at Bluffton Harrison Elementary School right out of college and fell in love with the teaching community there. In the 15 years since, she's worn several hats, including instructional assistant, first grade teacher, and assistant principal. On Monday, Moser added another title to the roster, Bluffton Harrison Metropolitan School District Educator of the Year. In a surprise celebration in her honor, Moser was greeted by a crowd of family, friends, peers, and school hallways flooded with cheering students. For 15 years, you've served BHMSD with exceptional dedication in many capacities, always going above and beyond with integrity, a strong work ethic, and genuine passion for helping others grow, announced Aaron Pribble, executive director of the Wells County Chamber of Commerce. Pribble then added, your deep knowledge of curriculum paired with your ability to make learning accessible for all students makes you an invaluable resource and trusted collaborator. It's such an honor to be able to recognize you on behalf of Bluffton Schools. The announcement disguised within a planned meeting, came as an apparent shock to Moser. Admittedly, the spotlight is not her favorite place to be. Or, more accurately, there's nothing I hate more than having the spotlight on me, she laughed afterward. I'd love nothing more than to support others until kingdom come. The support she gives, however, was also continually cited as a key reason Moser was worthy of being the district's Teacher of the Year. I know that she's hating all this attention, and I love that, joked kindergarten teacher Lindsay Fry, because it, the attention, is so well deserved. She's the last person that would want this recognition, but she deserves it. Now in her second year as a literacy coach for the district, Moser's priority is finding ways to support students' growth in the area of reading and writing. She also works alongside teachers to research and implement best practices in teaching, engage students, and reach new goals. Mrs. Moser does an amazing job. But more importantly, she is 100% all about helping kids be the best that they can be and helping our teachers, said Principal Schlara Lindwell. She always puts others' needs are at the forefront. She empowered teachers to provide what they need to help our students. But she is also intentional to make sure that kids feel good about themselves and know that they are capable of learning and doing good things. Third grade teacher Tammy Funk described how Moser lights up the classroom, captivating students and bringing a new, fun energy to learning. We are lucky that Moser enters the doors of BHMSD every day, Funk said. In short, she's the best, third grade student Cherokee Butcher said. But more than any accolade, Moser said she finds the reward of teaching in everyday success and relationships built. Among students and teachers alike, these are things that keep me going every morning, Moser said. Next, from the Bluffton News Banner. County Road 200 Agreement Amended by Jonathan Snyder. Bluffton officials signed an addendum to the County Road 200 South Interlocal Agreement on Tuesday. The addendum extends the project's overall timeline and adds a condition that the county will pursue a community crossings matching grant for the remainder of the project. Mayor Scott Menzer said that the city will not pay any additional funds toward the project beyond the $750,000 agreed to by both the city and the Redevelopment Commission. The intent is to widen the road beyond the bridge over the railroad tracks, but the project has gone beyond its budget. After cutting portions of the project to meet budgetary requirements, the final proposal for the current project will restore the bridge over the railroad tracks and perform milling and filling work until the Hoosier Highway intersection, short of its intended end at State Road 1. Future CCMG funds are needed to continue working through the project's original scope. The Bluffton Board of Public Works and Safety and Redevelopment Commission approved the addendum, as both organizations had signed an interlocal agreement regarding the project. Menzer could not give an expected completion date due to the delays. This addendum makes the interlocal agreement indefinite until the project's completion. In other Board of Works matters, USI consultants will perform inspection services for upcoming sidewalk repair. These services are not to exceed $84,000. Street Department Commissioner Tim Simpson said that they plan to break ground in 2027 and repair sidewalks along Spring, Mulberry, and Washington Streets. Bluffton's Common Council also met Tuesday, discussing the Wells County Regional Sewer District's toxin project. The council agreed to expand its agreement with the RSD to include the toxin project area. The RSD will pay a $161,000 buy-in fee and a $322 monthly service charge. City Attorney Tony Crowell said that he was unable to plug in an SRF credit into the contract due to time constraints. The Board of Works will also need to ratify the agreement, but the final pricing will not change in the coming weeks. These increases will also not impact the $95 full service rate the RSD has set for the project. Also, Wells on Wheels' request for opioid settlement funds was denied by the council after members expressed concern over the efforts to prove that those funds were going into treatment-related matters. The $19,000 would have been used to fund transportation to drug-related rehabilitation facilities. Council member Josh Hunt said he met with other rehab organizations in the area and reported that they did not have much trouble getting people to their meetings. In previous meetings, the council had concerns that the amount of drug-related trips could not be tracked accurately. Some rehab meetings end after WOW's hours of operation, leading people to find alternative transportation back home. Due to both of these issues, council denied the request. That leaves more money for the city to allocate directly to the organization that are more hands-on with those in need, Menzer said. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This has been Rich Kraus with Area News. I hope you've enjoyed today's reading with the audio reading service of the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana.